title. I wish you'd been recording that. Dead gum. All right. All right. Fog of War is the name of this. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. The Fog of War. We've been hearing this in the Truther movement. The Fog of War. What is the Fog of War? Here's what I understand it to be. The difficulty of making decisions amid conflict. See, the God of this world is blind in the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the knowledge of the truth. And I say it's not just believers. I believe it's just unbelievers as much as it is believers. I say that again. What is the fog of war? The difficulty of making decisions amid conflicts. What is the tendency of the flesh to do? To go to some outward something to solve the problem. Because the conflict is so great. What can I do? I gotta do something. Oh my God, what am I gonna do? But you got the generals back there saying, hold the line. Don't give in to the loud, blaring mouth of the enemy and his scare tactics. Isn't that what really it is? Whether it be personally, corporately, worldwide. Is the whole nation going through this right now? We're coming up on the supposed scare event to try to wake people up. Well, I'm telling you, it's time to pull off the Band-Aid. Forget this scare event stuff. We've had enough. We need to pray that they have God's guidance in this and they realize this is God's plan. It is not their plan. They could do nothing without God's help in this. I'm glad our president. And that was so good to see Kenneth Copeland last night. He said, you're my president, and I love you. Yeah, Donald Trump, he said, you're 86 years old, you look great. See, he got over to the right side. It took him a while. Very encouraged by that. But see, this is the way it's going to have to be for all of them. Or are they going to have to go? Like we were talking about yesterday, it can't be fixed. It has to be taken out. Lord spoke to it, or spoke through Danny. It has to be taken out. It can't be fixed. And I've heard that. I've heard 107 say, it's already fixed. And there's no changing it. In other words, they're out of here. The fix is already in. They've been fixing the vote for how many years? And what have they been doing? So there's no changing them. And they'll beat that drum until they are the dead horse. They will continue to until they are taken off the scene. That's how the devil works. All right, the difficulty of making decisions amid conflict. They are calling what we are going through World War III, which it does seem that way. The whole world is involved in this conflict. They're calling what we are going through. Okay, I already did that. I want to look at Jesus and the conflict within himself before he went to the cross. He fought the battle of all battles for all time. He overcame the evil in the whole world for all time. Think about the pressure that was on the man Christ Jesus, that was not God, he was man. He said he laid aside who he was in God to come as a man. He had to listen to the Holy Spirit. He had to move with the Holy Spirit just like we do. For people to say, well, Jesus could do anything because he was the Son of God and all that. No. The scripture does not bear that out. He walked the way we have to walk. He didn't move independent of the Father. He went up in the mountain to pray. He pulled aside and looked inside. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures. This is Matthew 26. I was praying this morning for someone in the Spirit, and I won't mention their name, so don't ask me about it. And I've prayed for them on several occasions. It's just one of those that are trained in a certain way and has a certain mindset, but they can't come out of the mindset. And it grieves me. I just cry every time the Lord brings this on me. He's brought it on me 4 or 5 times. I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? I've prayed in the Spirit so many times over this situation. What do you want me to do? I can't change a person's mind. Only you can do that. All right, Matthew 26:17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and they did eat. He said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe, see, Son of Man. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. You know, he had followers that turned back from following him from these statements. Here's just a prime example. I was speaking with someone that's working for the light people. We're talking about the end times. He said, well, there's just too many things that haven't been fulfilled. Well, what's the problem here? He's looking at everything from the natural and nothing from the spiritual. See, when Jesus was talking to these people, he was talking not about cannibalism, eating my flesh and drinking my blood. He was talking about symbolism. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit. See, he wanted them to remember by eating bread and drinking the wine, what he was fixing to do at the cross. Put me in remembrance as oft as you think of me. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Fog of war. They'd been with him 3 years. Seen the miracles. Done the miracles themselves. Yet when the pressure was on, they scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Jesus knew that the only way he would get through is he had to pray. He had to pull aside, look inside, and draw on what the Holy Spirit imparted to him for the situation that was ahead of him. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to the disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Yeah. You're going to find in several places throughout, I didn't put them all down today because we'd be here all day, of these instances where Jesus had to pull aside and look inside. Mark 14. The first time that I ever had to had a situation where it was dire, it had to do with our first grandchild. And my daughter was going to, had gone to a maternity home, and she was going to, wanted me to pick a set of parents for her. And I took these two books home, lovely people. And I just said, Lord, I just can't do it. Because I thought, you know, you adopted us, you grafted us in. So I won't say that adoption's a bad thing, but I'm thinking, you're not taking my flesh and blood from me. So, you know, this went on for weeks. I just agonized over it. Till one day, I'd been praying in the Spirit a lot. The Holy Spirit said, speak these words. And I did, and with 24 hours, a mountain moved. The Father stepped in and said, Nope, we're not going that way. That's exactly the words. I spoke that the Father would step in and stop this adoption. And that's exactly. I mean, it wasn't even 24 hours. The maternity home was calling me to come get Dana. Now, I didn't know everything that would come into play concerning all of this, but I mean, it was to me a dire, desperate situation because my daughter was determined. But God, when things look impossible, but God, He makes a way where there seems to be no way. You can look out there and you think my options are so limited, I just don't see any way to go, but you know what? Guess what? The parting of the Red Sea. We're at our Red Sea moment. Personally, as a nation, but God. We just don't know. The Ephesians prayers, Paul had wrote those under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we could know who we are and how powerful the God is inside of us. He's not asking you to solve your problems on your own. He's just asking you, look in here. Look inside. You got the Godhead bodily. Think about that. The Creator of heaven and earth, and all His vast knowledge and knowing everything about everything right inside of you that you can tap into at any minute, that you can get out of your fog of war and get on your knees a little bit. That's all He's waiting for. That's why you're going through hard things. He's got to get you from running to the world to running to Him. We see Jesus' example. All right, let's keep going. Mark 14, verse 12. In the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, verse 12, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? He sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith to them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples, and he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. Where did he get the stuff? Inside. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. We don't want to ever betray the Lord. You say you won't. But just like the Lord was saying this morning to me, don't get so locked into things that if I make a complete switch that you don't follow me. We've got to be like Keith Moore when he said, I want to follow the Lord so close, when he stops, my nose is in his back. Me too. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. I've just had a quickening by the Holy Spirit to mention this. There's going to be information coming out. That's going to probably rip you up one side and down the other. Don't be quick to say, I don't believe that. You best pray about it. I was listening to somebody the other day, and I have never heard these people. I forget the name of what they are, but this man is the commander-in-chief of the civilian army. And they're worldwide. They don't answer to Donald Trump. They're not against Donald Trump. And I was doing okay with what he was saying until he started talking about all the alien mess. And then I thought, you know, it was not, you know, we got these alien alliances that are working with us and among us. And I'm going, no, that isn't true. I know God showed me about the aliens. Their demonic in origin. Whatever they present themselves as angels of light to whoever. See, we've got so much mixture here and there. We need to know what our Bible has to say. We need to know. We need to hear from God about things so that we know. So when this stuff comes, we're not attacking people and we're not getting off course because we get mad and get upset because all this stuff is coming forth. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a song, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in the night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which is called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? See, probably if he had prayed, maybe he wouldn't have betrayed. That's pretty good. Prayed, betrayed, you know. Pray, you don't betray. See, you've got to get in sync with what God is doing. That's why we pray. We're syncing up with what he is doing, so when the fog of war comes, we don't jump out and do something independent of that. Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You're tempted to get out of sync. You're tempted to no longer hold the line. You're tempted to go just do something in the flesh. You're tempted to just react. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist thou they what to answer him. And he cometh at the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough. The hour's come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. So what he faced as a man, Pontius Pilate, Herod, the scourging, the ultimate crucifixion and then the suffering, all these things, the Holy Spirit and taking hold together with him inside gave him what he needed to go to the cross and finish his course and not betray God. Boy, well, we'd be in a sorry shape had he betrayed. He was still a man. Why would he have to pray if he's just the Son of God and he can just do anything? Because he didn't come as the Son of God. He came as the Son of Man to take man's place. If he could just do anything, was sovereign and everything like that, with his Godhood included, then he wouldn't need to pray. They couldn't do anything to him. But humbling himself and becoming a man, well, he had to take our place, see? He had to become one of us to do that for us. If God could have done it, wouldn't he have done it? It talks about the law. And if these ordinances and all that stuff would have worked, there wouldn't be any reason to send Jesus, right? Why would you want to go back to that? All right, Luke 22. Because all this strangeness is going to be coming out in the world, you better be rooted and grounded in what you know to be true, lest you be persuaded. Many years ago, I asked the Lord about the demon, the alien stuff, because I'd always been kind of fascinated by it. But I knew anytime I went to an alien movie, I had nightmares, and it really bothered me. I'd have dreams of them carrying me off. Scared me. I went to the Lord about it. He said, they're demonic in origin. Doesn't matter if they appear as the Palladians, as angels of light, or whatever, or the heinous looking grays or something like that. It doesn't really matter. They have infiltrated the earth. They've been living underground. And places on the moon, from what I understand. I don't know if that's true or not. But the point is, they have lied and said, we're this and that and so, and we know we're in an enclosed system. There is none of that up there. I don't care what they say. It's a lie. Creation is in the Bible. Everything God did. There's over 200 scriptures that prove the earth is flat and we're under the dome. And nobody's going through that dome. I saw a film yesterday of a rocket being shot off. It was at nighttime. And then all of a sudden, bam, it hits the firmament. This guard's going, oh, Will Robinson, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, the devil has, what do you even call it? Just wild tales. Just as wild and the most intelligent men on the planet believe it. Why? They must not be looking in the right source. Because if they would ask, God would show them. Now, there are those that do know the truth. And those on the Q team and in the Alliance that I know of, I believe they know. Now, there's others that seem to be part of that, but kind of go the Gaia way and all that mess. No, that isn't God's way. You see why we have to know? We have to be so hooked up inside, and we know what God has said to us, and nothing shakes that. When they come with all this rhetoric, you know what the truth is. You've been taught the truth. You've been taught the truth here. I didn't just go on this journey on my own. I would have never done this. I wouldn't have taken the persecution that goes with it. But God wanted people to know what He was doing. And eventually the whole church is going to know the truth. If I have anything to do with it, the Lord allows me to have something to do with it. In the Permian Basin anyway. About the witch doctors and about all of it. Okay, Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise, pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite him with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. He touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? While I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Let's keep going here because it's interesting. No, I didn't write it down. I was going to read about Peter, but I guess we won't. All right, in John we see that Jesus prayed for his disciples. Jesus interceded for his disciples. This is John chapter 17. That goes on to talk about Peter's three times he denied the Lord. All right, 17:6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. That's interesting to me. He hadn't gone to the cross yet, but he said, I'm no longer here. Think about that. That's faith. He went to the cross by faith. It's already done. It's already finished. It's already accomplished. Just ponder that. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in the name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them the word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. That's us. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Then it goes on, chapter 18, talks about the betrayal in the garden. He prayed for them. They all forsook him and fled, but they came back, except Judas. Yeah. Verse 20 here, let's see, this is 17. Well, I read that. Okay. Even though the pressure was great on Jesus, he succumbed to Father's will. Jesus particularly dealt with Peter because he succumbed to the devil on several occasions. He would soon be the pillar of the church. And he had to learn to submit to Father's will and stop giving in to Satan. We're going to look at just a few scriptures here. The first one's Matthew 16. Can God trust you? Are you going to be squirrely? All right, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right, let's go over to Luke 22. Verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. 107 was on last week, and I forget who he was even talking to. It might have been Nino. He's talking about the Last Supper and the betrayal. Kind of putting it in context of where we're going. Just think about that as things transpire. I don't know exactly what it all means, but. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth his fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. A cock, yeah, that's weird words. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I can just imagine. All right, John 21. Verse 15. This is after Jesus' resurrection, and they're out fishing in the boat, and Jesus is on the seashore. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girded thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall lead thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Yeah, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then he turns to him and said, what about this guy over here, John, you know? Lord's telling him, there's going to be a day they're going to lead you to the cross, just like they led me. You're going to go where you don't want to go. Will you bail here too? Or will you stay the course? Well, I guess he stayed the course, right? He learned from that experience. Even though the pressure was great, what's on the inside is what gets you over. Really, for me, it's really the only thing that comforts, has any substance to it for anything. All right. I want to read this to you. In April 1994, when our ex-pastors came to our house to ask us if we would take the fellowship, Danny said the Lord had not said anything to him about it. Well, the Lord had already spoken to me about it. The Lord himself called me a pastor. A few years before that, the Holy Spirit said to me that I was a teacher. So what they had to say was no surprise to me, but they did not believe it was me. It was a stressful time, and while they were sitting there, even though they were not in agreement over what the Lord had said to me, our pastor even said, no, it's Danny. He has a teaching gift. Sitting in front of that, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is the cup which I've given you to drink. Will you not drink it? It doesn't make any difference if the whole room casts you out. You follow him. Regardless of man, God did not consult them with his plan. Man cannot keep you from obeying God. I remember Fred Price going to a church to speak, and when they saw he was black, they said they didn't want him to speak. And he come out of there, and the Lord said, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. Did it prevent him from being successful concerning God's plan? No way. There was a prophecy that Danny had after that time that the Lord gave him. It's one of the only ones I have no document of, and I've never found it. But it was referencing to much suffering. I've never found it. I hope I find it someday. All right. Unfortunately, just being a woman in ministry can cause a lot of pain and suffering if you're not surrounded by men who know the truth and are not indoctrinated. Just as Jesus went to the cross, bore our sins on it, we're also told we have to take up our cross and follow him. God calls, God trains, God promotes, not man. And I've really come to that realization just recently, that everything I thought about a certain place that we were supposed to be, Uh-uh. God never intended for that to be. They'll go on and probably put somebody like, well, I won't mention the name out there, but somebody that complies to the present leadership. That's who'll get promoted out there. It's just an institution, so whatever. And I'm not saying anything bad about that if they follow the Lord. But what God puts in us, it's by the Spirit, and He leads it. I tell you what, I said, I wish I'd have known that 20 years ago. It would have been so helpful. I've gone through such agony thinking if I didn't get in a certain place, then God couldn't do it. That's not right thinking. The right place is pulling aside and looking inside, not being at a place. And looking to some man to do the right thing or whatever. No, it's not about that at all. So I hope that helps you. Okay, let me read that again. Just as Jesus went to the cross, bore our sins on it, we are also told we will have to take up our cross and follow Him. God calls, God trains, God promotes, not man. This is Psalm 75:6. For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west or from the south. No matter what direction other than the north, female, male, devil, nothing can stop the promotion from the north. So don't be discouraged when men say nay. God says what goes. So we're not looking to man. We're looking to the Holy Spirit within. He has the whole plan. He knows what to do. Men are noble in what they do, but they don't have the whole plan of God. They may have a little bit, but who knows it all? Holy Spirit inside of us. All right, go back to Matthew. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Just the opposite of the world, isn't it? Okay, Matthew 16:24. We kind of read that a little bit, I think, a while ago. But we'll do it again. 16:24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And he goes on about it. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is it of a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Yeah. Right here, cross in the Strong's. A state or post as set upright. A pole or a cross as an instrument of capital punishment. Figuratively, exposure to death or self-denial. To impale on the cross, literally and figuratively, subdue passion or selfishness. So hauling that thing around is working all that unlovely stuff out of you. Think about it. If we're going to follow Jesus, this is the process. I have had to count it, never thought it would be as tough at times as it has been. You know. But it's like Paul said, his grace is sufficient to get you through. The whole beast system is where my call is about. The magic kingdom, Satan's propaganda agenda, some heavy stuff. Because this is the whole, set my people free from the strongholds of their minds. What are the strongholds of their minds? The beast. He sent me to pickle the beast. All right. I cannot allow the fog of war to stop me. This is what the fog is about, a deterrent to accomplishing the will of God. And it can come in all kinds of ways, most definitely. By the way, I watched my program this morning with a digital antenna. Praise God. you know what? Just keep going. There are some things I say that most would not embrace, but does it mean it is not to be told? Jesus said some things also that most people could not embrace, and he lost disciples over it. Did it matter? No. He still said them. This is John 6, where I told you about, he's talking about people thought, is he a cannibal? Going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Peter, you know, was talking to him about it, and he said, are you going to turn back too? And he said, Lord, where am I going to go? I've given up everything. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't either. But see, they took a spiritual matter and turned it into a natural thing. Because that's what the devil, and his crew, that's what they're doing in the temple, probably underneath the temple, just like in Ezekiel's day, the hole in the wall. They were worshiping Satan. Doing literal cannibalism. Drinking blood. No wonder God left the temple. The chariot showed up, transported his spirit right out of the temple, and it's never returned. Never has it returned. And it isn't going to. It returned in us. His temple. Oh, we've got to get our mindsets off this natural, churchy, just junk. Whether it be Jew junk or Christian junk, it's all junk. This is an inside walk. All right. Acts 9. Ten. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise and go unto the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he saith, he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. This is how God does stuff. Detail, precision. All from within. No, you know what? Men think they're so smart. We've had navigational systems in us since we've been born again. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. He's going, I don't know about this, Lord. And there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You go against the system. You go against the grain. You suffer. Your flesh suffers. Your emotions suffer. Suffer here. To experience a sensation or impression, usually painful. Oh, would I have appreciated someone in the church speaking the truth when we were younger, so we could understand where we haven't had to spend 20 years trying to figure out what the heck is going on here. Because nothing in the church seemed to conform to anything God was saying to us, going, what is going on here, Lord? All right. The Lord would have us not to mourn because of this, but to rejoice. This will help you fight your way through the fog of war. A lot of times, just knowing where you are, you know, the greatest thing for me was finding out who I was in God. And that's why I feel for people that are transgenders and homosexuals. They just don't know who they are in God. It's like the young woman that I was telling Denny about. She had transgendered in her early teens, I think. And she kept trying to commit suicide, very unhappy and everything, until she met Jesus. And he showed her who she was. And she began to get off of all the chemicals she was, you know, taking and everything. She said she still has to shave. you know, because of testosterone and all of that. But she's standing there and she said, if, you know, because of what Jesus did for me, she said, now I can be in the place I am now. She's 28 weeks pregnant. She's going to have a baby. So it's like, you know, this is what the world needs. They need Jesus. Jesus shows them who they are. I remember our Aunt June, Jean, being over there on the streets of London, came across a transgender named Sheila. Sheila got born again. Sheila started supernaturally transforming back into the man that Sheila was. Yeah. See, the devil comes and brings an alternative. Yeah. All right. You know, when Paul went and the slave girl, you know, was following him, saying, these servants, these men are the servants of the Most High God to show us way of salvation. And then he casts the devil out of her eventually. And then they get thrown in jail and they get beat up. And they're singing praises to God. And guess what? An angel showed up and delivered them out of the prison. Did they go through pain? Yeah, they did. They got beat up. Just like Peter, chained, waiting for execution. Herod had already killed, was it John? James? And thought, well, he'd just grab Peter too. But the church came together, was praying in the Spirit. They pulled aside and looked inside. They didn't call the attorneys all over the place. They didn't do all these things that everybody does today. They run here and there and everywhere trying to get natural help. Because we've had pastors, that one in Canada, thrown in jail. Dr. Simone Gold, she was thrown in jail because of her stance on the vaccines. I don't hear of any of them talking about, we had a big old prayer meeting. An angel showed up at that prison and got her out of there, or got him out of there. See, God has a way. But they're not looking. They're not looking to God's ways. We're in a bigger mess than you think. It's not just the natural things and what these deep state players are doing. It's that the church is not where they need to be. And that's why it's all the way it is. Big job ahead. Big job ahead. Just get the brainwashing out of people. All right. The other purpose is for you to ignore whatever state you're in because you are looking inside and not outside. We don't walk by feelings, how we feel, what the circumstances are. We walk by faith. Faith is a spiritual force. All right? When you're trained in this way, you will never be moved by the fog of war again. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do through all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul in that hurricane. On that ship, the angel of God appeared before him and said, fear not, Paul, you have to stand before Caesar. I'm giving you and everyone on the ship. Paul was stepping aside and looking inside to get that answer. And they had toiled for 2 weeks, not even eating anything, toiled and wore out, trying in their own way to get something done, just flat wore out. About ready to perish. And then the angel showed up. And it happened just like he said. Okay, content right here. Self-sufficient, adequate, needing no assistance. We are empowered from in here, not out here. All right, let me see what else. A few more and we're done. When we do this, We come into the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we walk this way, all grown up. All grown up. Acting like it. This is Ephesians 4:13, actually. These prayers that Paul wrote by the Holy Ghost is to have for about a mature church. Wherefore, wait a minute. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Fog of war. Paul said this, one more scripture. This is Galatians 6:17. That's 5. Okay. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Right here, marks. Scar or mark of service. One of these days it's going to be revealed, our marks of service. They're going to be for everyone to see. All the things that you've suffered in secret that nobody knows anything about, the Lord knows. God.